Blog Talk Radio.
Can you hear? Well, hello there. Welcome to Coaching Conversations. This is Sean Chitkowski, and I'm here with Money Visco. Hi, Money. Hi. Do I have you? Maybe I don't have her yet. Let's just do this. Hang on. Connect. There we go. Are you there, Money?
Are you there? Okay.
I got
you.
Okay. It's been a little bit since we've been on air.
Yeah, it has been. It has been some time.
Yeah, I think we're closer. Okay. Oh, I'm at. We got some echoing. Let's try to do this. I'm going to come off.
I think you have to mute yourself on your listening.
Okay, how's that?
Better. Perfect.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening. So we're going to jump on. It's been a while. We've done quite a few of these, and I think it's been a few years. And the inspiration said, let's jump on and let's talk. And what we came up with today is, what is it, Gary Chapman's love languages?
Gary Chapman's I know a lot of people are familiar with it now. It's become pretty mainstream for people in relationships that they have either read the book, taken the quiz online or whatever, and are pretty familiar with their own love languages.
Coaching, it has come up quite a bit, and I think it's a useful topic, and that's why we said let's take a few minutes just to kind of break it down. And what we came up with prior to the getting on air is like, is it the end-all be-all, right? Where do we go with the love languages? But would you want to introduce it, what love languages are? Or?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was, you know, Gary Chapman had his book and describing the love languages, which are, you know, just briefly, words of affirmation, quality time, acts of service, gifts, and physical touch. And he kind of described all of them in the book, and then there's like a little quiz at the end, which back, you know, in the day, I think when the book first came out, most people had to buy it and do the quiz manually. Now you can do it online and probably get your results like that. But yeah, it does come up a lot when coaching, you know, people, like especially couples in relationship, that's like almost one of the first things they'll say, well, my love language is this, and, you know, their partner's love language is something else. And that's usually when kind of there seems to be a little bit of maybe conflict in the relationship when the love languages don't match up, or sometimes somebody's first love language, top love language, is the partner's last love language. That kind of can create a little bit of discontent in the relationship.
Yeah, I've seen it too, like when people aren't even familiar with love languages and kind of talking about the relationship and, you know, kind of with a keen ear, I'm like, oh, they have different love languages. So, and then I'll bring that up and ask them. And sometimes too, just bringing that awareness to that can also help us understand our partner a little bit more, or where they're coming from. I know as we were talking before this, we were asking each other what our love languages is. And I said, you know, mine's acts of service. And, you know, if my spouse wanted to cuddle, I'd probably be more happy if he's cutting the lawn. And it's just, and this is where, you know, if we don't understand that in each other, you know, things can get misinterpreted, or we, you know, then also we were going to break down too, I think, where we were talking about, you know, the over-focus on one's language of love versus another. And I think that that's kind of sometimes where, it is awareness. I've seen people understand their partner again a little bit more. Yeah, you know, being present versus, you know, how that can actually sometimes trigger our partners too if we're not getting our needs met. But then again, like we were saying, I'm going to have you add to that about where sometimes conflict comes if we have different love languages.
Yeah. So I think, as you said, I think awareness of what our partner's love language is really important because, you know, so for example, if one person's, like you, you know, your example, one person is acts of service and other is physical touch, and you're not, you know, your partner always wants to cuddle or whatever, and you're like, he doesn't really love, you know, that could be interpreted as he doesn't really care about me or love me because he's not you know, doing things and he always just wants to cuddle. Or the other way, your partner wants to cuddle and you don't want to, so that could also be interpreted as not caring or not loving you enough. And so this, like, awareness of, like, this is my partner's love language is important to understand from both perspectives. Either maybe I need to show my partner love in their love language, but also understand that maybe there are other ways my partner is showing me love other than the way that I'm thinking that I want to receive it, or my way of, like, the way that I show love to them.
Right. You know, I think part of what I'd love to do, if there's a takeaway from this conversation, is if you haven't figured out what your language of love is to try to figure that out. I do think it stems for, and this is, this is a theme that I see in people pleasers, codependencies, and even I think a foundation of a healthy relationship is to know thyself, right? So what is my love language so that I can actually maybe, you know, share that or express that, and vice versa, you know, that understanding. I think healthy relationships, if we don't, first of all, understand, like, if we don't understand the other person does value presence or words of affirmation, then we don't know how to help each other, maybe even meet each other's needs. And I know needs sometimes gets a little, like, people back off, you know, I don't want to be needy, but it does bring, a better understanding, maybe even a little bit more intimacy, is to know mm-hmm. a person and really, you know, what really helps them feel loved.
Yeah. So like I said, I think it's important to know. So maybe, you know, in your example again, that, okay, maybe I know my partner's love language is physical touch and that's really my bottom love language, but maybe I'll try to be a little bit more physically affectionate because I know that's how he wants to be shown or she wants to be shown. But I think the other side of it is to not put everything on your partner to be showing you that love. So there's also this building a little bit more attachment, and I know that's a whole other conversation we could have on another podcast about attachment theory, but when we're more secure in ourselves, we're not looking as much for the partner to fill our needs like that and then interpreting what they're not doing as that they're not loving us enough. What I say to people is when they're describing, there's two different love languages, I'll always ask the question, like, in what other ways does your partner show you love? And so it kind of changes the filter that they have of, like, my partner doesn't love me because they're not giving me physical touch or words of affirmation or quality, whatever your top love language, they must not love me, to, well, let me start looking at other ways they might be showing me love with things that are other than my love language. And that kind of will help to not have as much, like, animosity towards your partner that they're not showing you love. So that's one thing. And also, like I said, if you're more secure in your relationship, you're not kind of always reaching to get that affirmation from your partner that they love you in your specific love language.
I love that you hit that, because I do think, you know, we don't want to wear these goggles or glasses of mm-hmm. this is love and this is what I want, mm-hmm. you know. I like to say it's like it can be like sprinkles on the ice cream, right? So if I know my partner really, really, really loves, you know, that, and it can be something that we offer or understand that it's going to be really received on a level, where we want to be careful and mindful, because it's an element of healthy relationships, but it's not the defining piece of a healthy relationship. Yeah.
Exactly.
We don't want
to put all the weight on, well, I must not have a good relationship if my partner isn't, you know, buying me gifts or, you know, whatever it is that you perceive as the way that love should be shown. So I think it's like one factor, which I think we can all be aware, just like we said at the beginning of the conversation, and then making an effort to be like, okay, my partner does want to be shown physical affection. That's my bottom love language, but I'll just make a little bit more of an effort because I know it's important. And so that, because I think the bottom line is everybody wants to be seen and heard. And, what, you know, so I think it's responsibility on both partners to say, I want to make my partner feel seen and heard, and I want to see and hear my partner, but at the same time, we each are independent people and have our own needs, and we can't, like, be expecting our partner to fill all of our needs.
Truly,
so it's
truly,
about
truly.
Balance.
Right. It's like me saying, okay, I just want my lawn cut 24/7. Right. It goes both ways, right?
Yeah.
It's just something. And I do agree. You know, some of that, I think, in coaching, where I think we both really align. I know you've done a lot with relationship coaching, and, you know, I work, you know, that whole self-development. It's understanding, you know, understanding is doing the first part, too, of that discovery of really what makes me, you know, high, what, as you said, bottom love language to top love language. And being able to share that without expectation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where the expectation,
yeah.
We want to bring this into mindfulness. we release expectation.
Yeah.
It's a tool to discovery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And expectations and also assumptions, right? Like, okay, they're
right.
not doing this, so they must not love me. And so, like, even having a conversation around that where somebody could say, I do love you here, you know, but I'm just not physically affectionate or whatever. So I think it's communication, right? It comes back to, like, being open and having dialogue between each other and, like, meeting each other's needs and all at the same time meeting our own needs.
Excellent.
So it's like a balance of all of that, to have that in one aspect of creating a healthy relationship.
So I just like, you know,
not
maybe we can
necessarily the be all end all.
Right, exactly. And to tail it in, you know, I think the love language is a vehicle, right? A vehicle, you know, it gives us the ability maybe even to tell our partner what makes us feel loved. You know, is it actually the act, or is it can be that conversation of, you know, how we can show each other, or, you know, what ways of how we can offer and receive. And that dialogue, right, it's not the end-all, be-all, but it's something.
It is, exactly. It's to be considered. So I think there's value in it, for sure.
Right. Well, thanks for doing the conversation.
Thanks.
We kind of
jumped
on. And
I hope. Yep.
If anyone wants to consider this conversation, feel free to reach out to us. I will put all our information on the description below, but you can go on the website, wnylifecoaching.com.
And munizisco.com, M-U-N-N-I-Z-I-S-C-O.
Excellent. Well, thank you. Till next time.
Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye.